To answer is human. To question is divine. Welcome to the world of the Hidden Gateway, an exhilarating podcast exploring the concepts humans have been struggling with since the dawn of existence, such as, who are we? Is there such a thing as good and evil, or are they arbitrary constructs? Does the paranormal exist? How can we evolve to a higher state? Can our mind influence what we term as reality? Providing a transcendental approach combined with hard-nosed humanistic analysis, we invite you on a journey to question your worldview in this theater of life. Join our host, Justin Williams, as he explores the outer realms of faith, the supernatural, human potential, and even our concepts of the universal creator with a fascinating array of guests. This is the unseen world, magical, mysterious, and mystical, where your only limitation is your imagination. This is the Hidden Gateway.
I want to welcome you to another episode of the Hidden Gateway podcast. As always, I am your host, Justin Williams. Today's guest is James Rogusky. James is a researcher, author, natural health proponent, and an activist who believes that the old systems are rightfully crumbling and we must build their replacements quickly. James uncovered documents regarding amendments to international law and is doing everything possible to expose the World Health Organization's hidden agenda. James, welcome to the Hidden Gateway podcast. How you doing, sir?
Thank you for having me. And, you know, hidden is kind of the word of the day here, because all I'm really doing is shining some light on some documents that I read. And, you know, the words are hidden in plain sight, but they're surrounded by a whole lot of other words. And everybody's on overload, and you know, time is very important. I just found myself looking at some documents and reading them and understanding what they really meant. And once that understanding gets across to people, what I've learned is, when people look at what we're about to talk about and they actually have trouble seeing it, it's almost like there's some kind of a hypnosis that they look right at it, but they see something that they're, you know, it's around it. They take another look at it and they get closer, and then they get to where they can actually read the specific thing, and then they sit with it for a little while, and then the light bulb goes off. And whenever the light bulb goes off, a sound comes out of their mouth, like, oh, you're kidding me, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how you know you really don't need to say anything more, because they got it, right? And what I've experienced so far is people will say, oh, yeah, you know, I read it, okay? I actually know of a lawyer who told me that they had received this document back in February, right, soon after it was released in January, or not released, but presented and hidden quickly. They somehow got a hold of it in February, and they said, oh, you know, I glanced at it, okay? And so that's the problem with today's world, is people glance. They get a headline. They get the words that the media want them to see from it. And, you know, my experience has been, if you read a headline, and then if you were actually there, you're like, where'd they get that headline from? Because I was there, and that wasn't right. Anything near, right?
Right.
And, you know, I've read a lot of medical, journal publications, reports, studies. And, you know, you read the headline, but then you look at the data, and you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't match up.
Doesn't align at all, huh?
And so what we're talking about is something that the vast majority of people, there's really no reason why you would have heard of the international health regulations. If you think about that phrase, you go, that might be a little bit important, international health regulations.
Right.
But, you know, it's not sitting on anybody's coffee table, right? It's not a coffee table book, although it should be. It's actually not bad reading. You ought to know what the rules of the road are, you know, internationally. It governs travel and, you know, lockdowns and quarantines and all that kind of stuff. And you can buy the book from the WHO. I don't know, it's like 12, 13 bucks. You can print out the PDF for free on my website. And I actually kind of don't think it's all that bad, right? It has articles, you know. An article just doesn't mean like a story. It means like a section, you know, like articles in the Constitution kind of thing. Second article talks about human rights and how, you know, we don't really want to infringe on travel and commerce, and we have to balance, you know, personal autonomy and bodily integrity. And there's many, many good things in the existing international health regulations. I suggest everybody take a look. It's not that difficult. Parts of it are, you know, make your brain all stick together. But the amendments that were presented by the United States to the WHO in January are just dripping and oozing it with slime and evil contorted language that makes you feel dirty when you read it. So be prepared to take a shower. I felt like I was reading Satan's Bible, because you read it and, you know, just they change one word and it's like, well, wait a minute. Instead of saying they must do something, they say they may do something, right? Uh-huh. And if you're not really if your attention to detail, if you let it slip, you read words and, you know, I've actually been with people where they're reading it and they're reading it out loud and they'll read words that aren't there, right? And it's interesting how the mind plays tricks on you. And so the general concept of the problem with these amendments is there's one line where the way the system is currently structured, the way the regulations currently behave, is if there's a health issue in a country and it's of concern, you know, that it would spread and become a problem, currently the nation where the problem is happening has the final word. If they think it's a problem and they want to alert the world, they tell the WHO, hey, we got a problem. You got to tell everybody because we got a problem, right? Mm-hmm. If they think, no, you know, we think we got this under control, the WHO takes their tail, puts it between their legs and goes away and is not even allowed to speak of it, right? And so the current international health regulations are like shackles or, you know, a ball and chain or a straitjacket or whatever you want to say, that the WHO doesn't like that. They want to be in charge of everything, okay? Mm-hmm. And the amendments essentially would take away the control that the nation has and make the director general of the World Health Organization literally a worldwide dictator in regards to declaring an emergency. Now, a lot of people are taking this and they're letting their minds run away with them. And they're going, oh, you know, fire and brimstone are going to come down from the skies and all hell's going to break loose because of these amendments, right? And I see them as the founding document of the Great Reset, where it's resetting the control from 194 countries to one man, which if you just look at that, you go, that just doesn't sound like a good idea.
Not at all.
But I actually think that when people see what this is, their attempt at a great reset is going to be turned into a great awakening. Because when people see what I just explained, right, mm-hmm. light bulb going off, that light bulb going off in people's head is a certain, you know, awakening or enlightening. It's going to crack the shell that the WHO is not a benevolent organization. Because in this pile of amendments, there's not a word about early treatment, essential medicines, you know, herbs, vitamins, minerals, nutrition, healthy food, healthy habits, sunlight, nothing. It's just bureaucracy and surveillance and declarations of emergency to put everybody in a panic. And
wow. Okay.
Going all the way back to Roman times, the definition of the word dictator would be the person who dictated orders when he was put in charge during an emergency.
Okay.
You can't have truly a dictator unless you have a state of emergency. And if you have a constant state of emergency, you have permanent dictatorship. And I just think it's easy enough for everybody to look at the information. And you know, one of the most common responses, I know mine was, oh, hell no.
You know, right.
Just this is crazy. And anybody trying to defend it, my phone number is 310-619-3055. It's my cell phone. I'm way behind in getting back to people, so be patient with me. 310-619-3055. I just doxed my own number, save you the trouble. It's that serious. I'm that serious about it. This cannot be allowed to happen.
Well said. That is very well said and very interesting as well. Now, obviously, you looked at the article, and this was January of this year, correct? I think I saw January 18th when these amendments were.
Exactly. The amendments were actually, and interestingly enough, you know, I suspected this. I had heard hearsay from someone who was involved in it. And so that confirmed what I thought was the case. And recently I've had, I think certainly three, maybe four Republican Congress people, male and female, who have sent responses to their constituents who have contacted them and said, hey, what's up with this? Mm-hmm. And they're very proud that these amendments, the negotiations started during the Trump administration. And so, you know, they're being looked at by many people as Biden's amendments, right? And it's impossible to know, well, you know, what were they negotiating then and how did it all change and what is it now? Right. Okay. But the Republican congressmen, not all of them, but certainly a number of them, are putting out what looks like a form letter that seems to have come down from above somewhere. And they're all in favor. And they clearly seem to understand that the amendments would make it so that the WHO could overrule a country's objection and declare that there's an emergency in that sovereign territory because of these amendments. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the very least, that's them stating that they are in agreement with this. And arguably, that is absolutely anti-constitutional. There's actually a Supreme Court ruling from many, many years ago that essentially said, you know, look, when we started the Constitution, or when we started this country by adopting the Constitution, we gave certain powers to the federal government, and they do not have the authority to then pass on those powers to someone else. And to help people kind of understand that, we mostly all accept that the president is the commander in chief, right? Well, you wouldn't want the president to give away the power to be the commander in chief to Mark Zuckerberg.
Right.
All right. Now, that's not what these amendments are doing, but essentially what it's doing is saying, well, the president gets to declare an emergency if he deems it to be the case. He's not allowed to give that power to Tedros Ghebreyesus, the director general of the WHO. Mm-hmm. There's a clear Supreme Court decision from ages ago, and common sense just says, what are you thinking, Joe? Oh, wait a minute. Maybe somebody else is doing Joe's thinking. I'm getting into a bad rhyme here because what I was going to talk about next is the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, right? Mm-hmm. And so these types of agreements or amendments or international negotiated, you know, documents, what I've found is that there's actually in the law, the office that is responsible for overseeing this process is the Office of the Legal Advisor to the Secretary of State. I'll repeat it again. The Office of the Legal Advisor to the Secretary of State. That person, Richard Visick, I believe his name is responsible for the oversight of the negotiation and the submission and the adoption and the signing of any international document, right? Mm-hmm, sure. And I'm a decent researcher. I've looked through the Federal Register can't figure out if there's any documentation where Secretary of State Blinken has authorized people to be involved in the negotiations, right?
Okay.
You can't, you know, you and I can't just go and negotiate an international document. That's not how it works. In order to be able to speak for your country, you've got to be able to have the authority to do so, right? Well, maybe Secretary Blinken did that, and I just can't find it, okay? That's totally possible.
Mm-hmm.
Should be in the Federal Register. Maybe I'm blind. If he did authorize these negotiations, then, well, maybe the treason goes all the way to the top because he approved it.
Right.
Now, if he didn't, then you've got some rogue people in the administration just doing whatever the hell they want to do without any authority, pretending to have that authority.
That's
well, there's some crimes, you know, there's some crimes that might be going on there. And so at the very least, where was the public comment period? Where was the discussion in Congress? Where was the, you know, public debate just in general? Why has this been hidden? Well, it looks like what they wanted to do was kind of analogous to when Obamacare was passed and the Affordable Care Act showed up on hand trucks, you know, 1400 page document. They give everybody a copy, you know, and oh yeah, you can read it, but you got to pass it first, right? It appears that that's what they were hoping was going to happen. And there's a 6 month period. There's a 6 month period before it would actually go into force. And in that period, just like when you buy something from the internet and it shows up and you're like, oh, that's not what I thought it was. And you return it. Every country can just write a letter to the WHO, literally just write it, a notification back to them and say, well, you know, these amendments, we reject them. We do not accept these amendments. We're going to stick with the rules as they are. Thank you, United States. Done. But the Biden administration submitted these. I don't think they're going to want to listen to the will of the people when we say, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm,
sure. Can't do that. And you know, if it's you and me and two other people, they're certainly not going to listen. If it's you and, well, I should say, yeah, you and me, get my grammar correct. If it's you and me and 200 million people, they still may not listen. Okay? But, you know, this is election season. And the question of the day is going to be, well, if these amendments are passed and you're running for office, if you're an incumbent and you swore an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, domestic and foreign,
yeah,
you're for this transfer of control.
Right. Yeah.
Can I put you down on my I got this litmus test here. And I'm gonna put you down as pro treason. You're on the pro treason, and you know, I'm looking for candidates that are anti treason.
Exactly.
So maybe I'm gonna go speak to your opponent and see if he's in the good list, because I'm putting you on the naughty list,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
The 6 month period goes beyond, you know, to the end of November, so it includes the election. And, you know, I'm not going to get into, you know, counting votes accurately and, you know, all of that's a whole nother question.
Yeah.
But the discussion for the next 6 months is going to have to include at least a little bit of, you know, hey, Senator, what's going on with these amendments? What's your opinion, right? What are you doing to protect the Constitution against this clearly unconstitutional, possibly administrative rogue action, possibly just flat out treasonous action, and where did the people get to weigh in on this?
Right. So people need to be contacting their senator, writing them, calling their offices, getting that information. You know,
I've got a page on my site where we've got five different systems where you could take a pre-written letter, email, and, you know, copy it and send it, copy it and edit it and send it. We got a short one. We got a long one. We've got one that was put together by some folks that I work with, Karen Bracken and Dr. Laura Chamberlain. They did this a couple of weeks ago. I mean, they're early on. There's another group that has an automated one. You put your zip code in and it knows who your reps are, and boom, out it goes in one fell swoop. And then there's a fifth one to tell your state assembly, you know, Senate and House, whatever people have in their state legislature and also sends it to your governor. And so the point, though, is don't self-censor, right? And I'll give you a plug. It's going out on a podcast. If y'all are listening to this, make this be his biggest podcast ever, right? Take the link to this and sit down on your phone and pull out your contact list and get the link and copy it and text it to one person, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, text it out, text it out, text it out, text it out. Have everybody listen to this. Then they can go to my Substack, which is, it's a blogging platform that I send out a newsletter. It's free. Just click on, just let me read it. And it's jamesroguski.substack.com, jamesroguski.substack.com. And I've got two domains that maybe people can remember more easily than my name. Don'tyoudare.info is where you get the evidence that we're talking about. And stopthewho.com is where there's all kinds of things that you can share, videos, audios, articles, graphics, letters that you can mail and all that kind of stuff. And so at this point right now, this needs to go everywhere in the world. I mean, if Johnny Depp and that court case, if that can trend, you know, if Will Smith slapping Chris Rock can be at the top of the trending charts for forever, I think the destruction of the sovereignty of 194 nations and the beginning of a worldwide dictatorship, maybe you might want to use hashtag stop the WHO.
There you go. There you go. Maybe that's a big baby, right? But wow, you know, and it makes me wonder, you know, you mentioned the Chris Will Smith, Chris Rock situation and the Johnny Depp situation and how the, you know, those two stories are front and center, you know, at least were front and center while matters of importance are kind of going on behind the scene. It makes me think or wonder, I should say, if that's intentional, you know. One thing, James, I wanted to get your view on was how COVID-19 was handled. And, you know, do you believe in the vaccine? And I'm seeing on the news today that Pfizer approved the vax for kids 5 through 11. I'm hearing about monkeypox, you know, is a case here in the States and I think in the UK and maybe some other place. And does that tie into the amendments that are in place that we've been talking about for the last few minutes here?
That is a totally valid question. And the answer is no, because there's not a word in the amendments about any of the things you just mentioned. Okay. You would think that amendments, you know, after the crazy 2.5 or so years that we've been through, you would think that maybe there'd be like a little bit of, so, you know, how did we do? Right. Did these medications work? Did those medications work? You know, did this type of treatment work? Did lockdowns really benefit? Did masks really benefit? Are these, I'll subtly give you my opinion. Did these injectable bioweapons have any benefit for people? There's not a word. There's not a word about any of that in these amendments. Wow. There's 9 pages of let's build up some more bureaucracy. Let's build in some surveillance and let's change the rules about how we declare an emergency so we can have more, we meaning the WHO, can have more power and control. It reminded me, I left off a piece where in addition to letting the director general be able to declare an emergency anytime for any reason, they also wanted to allow their second in command regional directors do the same thing on a regional basis.
Wow.
The organization of the WHO is structured according to regions. Okay. And from an spread of a pathogen viewpoint, doesn't make any sense at all. Okay. It's broken down into Europe and Asia and Africa and Australia and the, you know, the Americas and so forth. But if you actually look at their map, you know, you realize that one country in region A is right next to a country in region B. And so if you declare a regional pandemic and it's right up on the border to region B, what the hell's the point?
Right. Okay? Exactly.
And so what it, you know, I'm going to step out of everything I've said so far is documented fact. All right. And so now I'll get into a little creative storytelling. All right. Okay.
I can't hear you, James. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. There you go. Yeah. It went
wild. How about now? Can you hear me? Yes, somebody tried to call me, and so I apologize. Just a little scenario for you to think about. What if you knew someone who was a chicken rancher or a chicken farmer, whatever their name is? He's got, you know, a couple hundred chicken, and a couple of them get sick, right? You know, I guess chickens cough. I don't know what the deal would be. How do you know a chicken has bird flu, right?
Right. But,
he's got a handful of chickens that are sick. So he puts them, you know, he isolates them, he quarantines them, and you know, hopefully takes care of them if he needs to do whatever he needs to do. Well, currently, if the WHO came in and said, hey, what's up with your birds, right? He goes, ah, they're sick. They'll be okay, right? Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But it's not for the WHO to decide. It's for the
farmer
nation, quite frankly. It's for the nation to say, hey, you got a really big problem here. Your chickens and your neighbor's chickens. I mean, this thing's spread like crazy. You know, we got to do something, right? Mm-hmm. And there are horror stories of, you know, animals just being slaughtered and buried, and it's disgusting and just cruel. And when you really get into it, it's a difficult decision, okay? You want to give all of the power to make that decision to one guy who's never dealt with a chicken in his life, okay? Or pigs or cows or goats or, you know, any other animal. They're not the expert. He's not the God of all things, right? But he would have the ultimate power to say, we don't care what the United States says. We're saying they have an emergency in this country, and the whole world's going to be, you know, and then, oh, the economy goes to crap in terms of, you know, selling chickens, right?
Right.
And let your mind race a little bit and then bring it back to reality. We're just talking about how this could be abused. All right. The rules are so unbelievably vague in these amendments, and the director general who, you know, I say would be the dictator general of the World Hypnosis Organization, if he just felt like saying, well, you know what, there might be some bacteria that are dangerous in the sewers of Cairo, right? We need to send a team in to see what's going on. Oh, look what we found there, okay? Do you think if you went looking for some pathogens anywhere on the planet, you'd have trouble finding them with a PCR test that you can crank up as many cycles as you want and use hypnosis to convince people that there's a problem, right? There was a story, I haven't verified this, and I'll never be able to verify it because I don't know the person, all right? Anything would be hearsay. But the story, and again, if this is just a scenario that you're thinking about, it was that someone who was on a prison work detail was cleaning out a poultry enclosure. And after, I mean, I actually, my first job as a kid, I was a janitor at a courthouse, and the only reason they hired me was to scrape the poop off the courthouse balconies. All right. Wow. Not fun. I don't envy anybody who had to do that job. But you know, the last thing you want to be doing is breathing that. Okay. So, you know, I would recommend wearing a mask for that.
Right. Right, there you go.
actually a respirator. I mean, a really good one. So if this gentleman was working, you know, on a prison detail, cleaning out a chicken coop or whatever the situation was, they swabbed him and he had some bird flu virus in his nose. Mm-hmm. Didn't mean he was sick. Didn't mean he died. Right. You got a positive PCR test for some junk up your nose. Well, I've done a lot of dirty jobs and you get some junk up your nose. If you're cleaning up bird excrement, you're going to probably have some bird virus. That's how the bat lady in China got viruses. They went and collected guano, bat droppings from the caves. And, you know, some of the humans who were collecting it got sick. Well, you're breathing bat poop. I mean, what are you thinking? Of course, people are going to have sinus and lung problems, right? And so the WHO, it's like, oh, we got a case of bird flu in the United States. Oh, we got a case of monkeypox. We got a case of this. Those things may very well be real, right? But then the propaganda machine kicks in, and the recommendations kick in, and the recommendations to lock down, and the well, they're all just recommendations, because Exhibit A on don'tyoudare.info, which is where all of the evidence is, a document that is a joint resolution from 1948, June 14th, Harry Truman got us into the WHO with all good intention, but they put a caveat on the agreement, and it said, yeah, we'll join the WHO because we want to, you know, work towards better health in the world. But you can't make us change our laws in any way, shape, or form for anything. Period. Stop. Okay. That's my vernacular of what they had in the language of the resolution, but it's actually in English and you can read it. And it's very clear that we're joining voluntarily. We can leave anytime. There is a 1-year process to leave. You know, you leave on good terms, but we're in this thing, like, people get into bad relationships, abusive relationships. We just can't quit the WHO. And so we don't have to listen to them. They make recommendations. But people have been so hypnotized by the media saying, oh, you know, Fauci says this, and Walensky says that, CDC and the FDA and the NIH and the WHO. It's not a law that you have to do what the WHO says. It's only that subconsciously you've been programmed to think that you have to do what they say. And this hypnotic trance that everybody's in, I'm actually very optimistic that this issue, if they go to don'tyoudare.info and they look at the 15 words and understand the game that is being played on them, because they were trying to hide this, because they were trying to sneak it through, they forgot to do the propaganda program. And so you don't see, you know, celebrities and the endless, you know, advertising, oh, these horrible international health regulations, we got to fix them. We got to have amendments. You know, everybody should be pro-amendment, right? You know, I haven't seen the circles. Well, I'm not on Facebook, but I haven't seen the circles around the Facebook profile picture. You know, amend the international health regulations, right? They're not putting up World Health Organization flags on their Facebook profiles, right? They haven't done this propaganda routine for these amendments. And so when people see it the first time, they go, what the, you know, international health, what, you know,
right, what's going on?
And I actually subconsciously, I've cleared out my programming, and more often than not, I call these things what they are. They should be the international health recommendations.
Okay.
Because if that's what the name was, which is more fitting for what people would be like, yeah, all right, you know, that's a nice recommendation. You know, a lot of people will give you recommendation. You know, your neighbor will tell you how to live your life. Doesn't mean you have to listen to what they have to say, right? Mm-hmm. If your neighbor's wise, you know, yet, you know, grandma who's wise beyond her years and she gives you advice, you probably ought to listen, right? Mm-hmm. But we don't have to listen to all of these people who are talking in words that have no legal relevance. And I'm here to tell you that I pretty much don't use the word pandemic. I don't use the word vaccine. And when you realize that the word case, as in a case of COVID, has no legal definition. There's no legal definition for a vaccine. Everybody's got a definition and they keep changing it, but it's not in the law, right? And pandemic is not in the law. And the words safe and effective are not legal terms, right? And so I wish I could have been the advisor to the now Supreme Court justice when they asked her if she could define a woman, right? Mm-hmm. What she should have said to the senator who asked that question was, Senator, if I'm going to be a Supreme Court justice, my definition of words don't matter. The legal definition is what matters. And as soon as you guys in Congress get around to crafting legislation to define a woman, then I'll be able to tell you what the legal definition is. But you guys, but you guys haven't done your job. So how are you expecting me to answer that question?
I like that.
She would have shot right to the top of the charts of, you know, quite frankly, conservatives would have loved it.
Right. Right. Right.
But she said what she said. And so when I hear Fauci say, oh, you know, the cases are sky high and we've got a pandemic, so we've got to take these vaccines that are safe and effective. You know, I hear a big fat pile of nothing because not a single word in there has any legal meaning, and he has no authority whatsoever. You know, you go look through the entire Code of Federal Regulations and you tell me what authority is given to the director of the department that he works in, the National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Disease. If he's got the authority to do anything, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if he's working under that authority, okay, fine. But he's just, you know, a little guy talking and people to him.
Yeah. Now, I see the 75th meeting of the World Health Assembly is being held in Geneva. I think in a couple of weeks. Actually next week.
Couple of days, actually, starting on Sunday.
Right.
Starting on Sunday through Saturday, 22nd to the 28th. And the World Health Organization is very slippery. They have not ever, to my knowledge, stated that they are actually going to vote. It's not like, you know, at 5 o'clock we're going to vote on this, right? And so I half expect them, with all of the attention that everybody's been given this, that they might just table this, you know, have another working group or a panel or a committee or you know, something. Oh, we weren't ever going to vote that stuff in. We were just, you know, talking about, we're just having a discussion here. Well, they only meet once a year, right? And so if we stop them from doing it this year, I'm sure they'll figure out a way to bend the rules, okay? But legitimately, it should be put on a table and we'll deal with it next year. But they do all kinds of things that don't abide by their rules. But the point really is this was meant to be completely hidden. It was meant to just, you know, slide right through. And by Christmas time, it would have been in effect. And, you know, Merry Christmas, you got a new boss in town, dictator general of the World Health Organization, can declare emergencies like Oprah gives away cars.
You know, I want to ask you, and I think a lot of people wonder about their end game. What's their end game? Obviously, you said some of the amendments talk about surveillance and you mentioned dictatorship. Is this just simply a power play? Do they just want full control and to be able to, you know, change the way people think, maybe, you know, continued social engineering? What's the end game here?
Well, I'll come back to your question and I will answer it. But first, I want to have some fun with it. Okay. Really, what we need to think about is how are we going to end their game? Okay.
Okay.
Because if anybody looks at the amendments and after you take a shower and wash all of the slime that you get all over yourself, because you're reading what I've come to call Satan's Bible, because it's just so deceptively written, right? If you look at it, and then you look at the WHO and you do a little research and you do, you know, search engines suck these days, but even so, if you do a search for Tedros Ghebreyesus and corruption, okay, or the WHO and corruption, you know, why would you know these things? Because the media isn't talking about them. But when you go looking for them, it's just endless, right? And so you go, wait a minute, this is really just a corporation that has a $7 billion budget. They want it to go to 30, and they want to have $100 billion in bond money that, you know, they get in an emergency. Man, if I had $7 billion a year, the world would be a lot healthier place. You know, I'd just, you know, open up a couple of really good baby formula factories and everything would be better, right?
I mean, right.
Why are we spending money on surveillance equipment and testing? And, you know, what if we gave everybody, you know, nutrition and vitamins and minerals and, you know, just made sure that their working and living conditions were better? That's what the WHO was supposed to be about. I mean, these rules go all the way back hundreds of years. Imagine yourself in, you know, old London or Paris. It's very crowded. Before electricity, before indoor plumbing, you know, people took their chamber pot, I think it was called, and you know, that's what they did inside. They didn't have indoor plumbing, and they just threw it out the window, or they threw it in the gutter in the street. And you know, no wonder they had a black plague, right? The living conditions were just filthy. And so the international health regulations originally were sanitary regulations. And so turn of the century, people started getting indoor plumbing. We started getting, you know, good potable water that didn't have, you know, bacteria and stuff in it, parasites and so forth. Then we had underground sewers as opposed to just flowing into the street. And people got healthier, lifespans grew, and childhood diseases actually went way down. And then vaccines started getting used, and they took credit for everything that was done through cleanliness. And so WHO started, that was wrapped up in the WHO. And, you know, think back to 1948, there were plenty of countries that, you know, the people lived in nature and they didn't have indoor plumbing. They didn't have underground sewers. And, you know, there were still a lot of areas that needed to be cleaned up. Mm-hmm. And by 1969, they changed it, the name, from sanitary regulations to international health regulations. And they amended it in 2005. And we've had those working for 17 years. And, it, you know, now they want to change it. And none of it is really about improving the health of the world. It's about improving the power and control and surveillance and bureaucracy run by a very corrupt corporation that, you know, if anybody just opens their eyes, looks at what they're trying to do and looks at them, you know, it's just, you got to be out of your mind.
Mm. Let's talk about China a little bit. And what makes China different? In China, you say that the WHO doesn't have the authority to override a nation that is not in agreement with what they want to do. Can you elaborate on that? And did they come to this agreement, or?
That's the start, and that is the excuse for what's going on now. Okay. And I'm glad you asked that, because that is really at the root. Okay. I got forwarded to me was communications from Representative Mark McCall in the 10th district in Texas. And he proudly included a link to a study that he was the main Republican author of, that was about an analysis put, you know, by the House committee on examining the COVID, you know, quote unquote pandemic. I don't use that word. That's their word. And the Chinese Communist Party and so forth. And I'm not 100% sure, but arguably a section in that report could have been the impetus for why they revised the international health regulations, because they called for changes, right? Mm-hmm. And Congressman McCall apparently is proud of that, because he included it in what he sent to his constituent. Now, Congressman McCall, in the first half, and I wrote a whole article on this on my Substack. It's at the time of this recording, it's the latest one, and it's about, you know, trying to get clarification, you know, seeking clarification on what positions our Congress people have. So people have been sending letters, and his response was all talking about China, right? Oh, you know, China did this, China did that, China did the other thing. Well, yeah, you know, I wasn't there and nobody really knows, but it's a reasonable guess that when things started to happen, China was like, oh, we got to cover some stuff up, right? And does anybody really know what happened? Well, somebody does, but they're not saying. And they weren't just hiding up their doings. They were hiding up the fact that, or hiding the fact that the United States was deeply involved in what was going on there, as we've known for quite some time, but everybody wants to be in denial about it. Mm-hmm. And so should there have been a targeted investigation? Well, the people that they sent to investigate were people who were like working in the back of the lab. I mean, it's like so corrupt the way they structured the investigation. So the most idiotic solution to China not being necessarily a great member of the international community is not to shoot yourself in the foot and give your sovereignty and control over to the WHO along with everybody else in a system that, you know, are you assuming that China is not going to write a letter of rejection and opt out of these regulations? It's like, come on, people, think just a little bit. How is giving everyone sovereignty over to the WHO a solution for China being a bad, you know, a member of the international community when China, at the last day, 5 months, 30 days, they can just write a letter, go, oh, we're out, suckers. You know, you're all in with this restrictive programming. You gave everything to Tedros. At the last minute, China's gone. The insanity, the stupidity, the just, you know, racism, quite frankly, for many people, and not so much on a person basis, but, you know, oh, these Chinese communists. Well, I'm here to tell you, as far as I know, the Chinese Communist Party is improperly named, right? Maybe back in the day of Mao, there were some communes in China, and people were living in communities, okay? Right, you know, people talk about, oh, how important community is. They just don't pronounce it right, okay? China's not communist. Their government has not seized the means of production. They're not following Marxist principles. They have worked hand in hand with large corporations, and what they've managed to do is get those large corporations to enter into a fascist relationship with their government, because Mussolini defined fascism as the cooperation between government and corporations. And fascism is government and corporations beating up on people. And until the people stop calling it communism, socialism, progressivism, or capitalism, or whatever, it's pure and simple fascism as Mussolini named it. And so our country is very fascist. Wake up, people. Doesn't mean Nazi. I'm not talking about Germany. I'm not talking about the KKK. I'm not talking about the Azov Battalion. I'm talking about, as Mussolini defined, corporations working hand in hand with government. When the government bumps into the judicial system or a constitution and it says, oh, no, you can't do a certain something, they just get their corporate buddies to do it. That's why Facebook does the censorship. The government is actually guiding that. If anybody could document that, we've got a major story, right? But clearly, they're getting corporations to do their bidding, and the rules that they're imposing make the big corporations make more money. Why do you think all the mom and pops are gone? Is because that is the government feeding the beast of the large corporation, because the large corporation beats down on the people when the government isn't able to do so. And so when America wakes up to the fact that we are now fascist, oh man, is that going to be one hell of a wake-up call? And it's not because the people want it. It's because the oligarchs and the people in government have sold us out and are working together against us. Yeah. And I see this particular little PDF of 13 pages with one line in it, Article 12, Section 2, Line 6, where they want to reset who's in charge from each nation to one guy. If American people don't grow a spine and stand up and say, hey, we see what you're doing, we understand what you're doing, and we're not having it. Now is the time. You know, I've spoken to a lot of people around the world, and they're afraid that if Americans don't do what they expect Americans to do, which is have a backbone and stand up for their rights, if they think that, you know, America's not up to the task and we fall to this, you know, the world's done. Mm-hmm. And so this time we're not going to send troops to Europe again, and they're not going to send troops here. What I think people ought to do is go make a friend with your local police officer. Go make a friend with your local sergeant. Sheriff or deputy, right? Mm-hmm. And say, sheriff, did you swear an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I'd like to share this information with you, okay? Look at what's going on at the upper reaches in the Biden administration, okay? If that idea goes viral within the squad rooms and within, you know, amongst the deputies and the sheriffs across the country, and all I'm saying is, you know, look at the evidence. You think police and sheriffs might be able to distinguish whether or not evidence is valid? Okay, give your local law enforcement this evidence. Tell them to go to don'tyoudare.info and tell them to call James Roguski at 310-619-3055, because there's evidence that they need to have. When that knowledge enters into the circles of law enforcement, okay, there's not going to be a violent problem in this country, because they are obligated to enforce their law and abide by their oath of office. And when the powers that be want to try to get somebody to pick on the people, I don't think that the sheriffs and the deputies and the officers are going to be able to look at that evidence and make a choice to stand with their overlords. They're going to stand with the people, because they are the people.
They are the people. That's okay. Right.
So I'm sure you know somebody, somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows a sheriff and a deputy and a police officer.
Yeah.
I've got some evidence for you of something that I think is a crime. And rumor has it that you might have sworn an oath to defend the Constitution against enemies, domestic and foreign, not to mention veterans groups and active military, okay, and reserves, right? They've, you know, how many millions of people are we talking about, right? The population needs to inform the protective services, I'll put it that way. Look at what's going on. Now, you're skilled, I would imagine, as an officer. I'm not talking to you, but, you know, in general, this is evidence. These are government documents. They have not been hacked. They have not been stolen. They are not confidential. They're just publicly available information that have been analyzed, and the golden nuggets have come out so that you can see what's going on. What we need to do as a people is say, look, look at what's going on. Decide for yourself whether or not you think that handing over the control of the declaration of an emergency on our territory should be given to Tedros Ghebreyesus. And it is the biggest, purest red pill wake-up idea that at this point I could imagine. And is everybody going to wake up? Probably not.
Probably not. Nope.
But if this doesn't wake you up, you know, this, you know how they say you got to crack an egg to make an omelet, right?
Right.
This should shatter everybody's illusion about the WHO. I mean, if you can look at this document and see what they want to do and say, wait a minute, what in here is even remotely related to improving my health? You got surveillance, you got bureaucracy, you got committees, you got declarations of emergency. Where's the essential medicines? Where's the money for nutrition and health? And they just want billions and billions and billions of dollars so that they can have more and more control over everybody on the planet. And I'm very, very much optimistic that the world is going to wake up, because it's not just the United States. You got me here at a good hour. It's only like 7 o'clock my time. I've been on webinars in Malaysia and Singapore and South Africa and wow. Uganda and Europe and Ecuador, Australia. You know, I've been up 2, 3, 4 in the morning because, you know, it's normal time for them.
Right.
Everybody's waking up to this and they're like, you got to be kidding me. Right. But, you know, we're the ones causing it because we let our current administration almost get away with this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're the ones who submitted it. They're the ones who are accountable for it. And I'm just asking questions at this point. You know, is this treason? Is this lawful? Is this constitutional? Is this what we as a people want? Did anybody ask our opinion? Did they hide it from us? And around the world, nobody knows who their delegates to the assembly are, even though they're going to start on Sunday. And today is, what, Friday? I'm lost. Today's Friday, right?
Thursday.
It's all
all good.
Ask questions of everybody and just spread the word. Take this recording and text it to everybody you possibly can. Email it to everybody you possibly can. You know somebody who knows somebody who lives in another country, who knows somebody who lives in another country. This can go around the world in no time, and I think it's going to.
That's right. And like you, I do believe that I'm very optimistic that more and more people will awaken to the issue amongst other issues going on in the world. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people talk about the darkness and the doom and gloom, but I am definitely one to tell people, don't forget about the light, you know, and the light always prevails. So, James, I want to thank you so much for coming on the Hidden Gateway podcast. This has been a great conversation, and the information you provided is certainly invaluable. And people, listen up, do your part. And James, before we end, I want to ask you one last question, sir. And I ask each and every guest that comes on the Hidden Gateway podcast to leave our listeners with what I like to call a token of love. Just, I mean, you provide a lot of great advice and recommendations already, but maybe something that comes to heart that they can use or that they can take with them on their journey.
You know, this is the first thing that comes to mind. When I started looking into the pandemic treaty, I was appalled at what they were planning. I mean, it's just a massive, massive takeover. And when I guess the way I was raised, if you see a problem, you know, you say something, but you don't say something until you have a solution or an option in replacement of the problem. And so, a couple of months ago now, I wrote something called the People's Treaty. And so go to thepeoplestreaty.com, and it's a list of mostly health-related things that I'm not going to go into all the details right now, but the point of it is these are rights that we have. You know, people can't force you to take medications, or they can't take away medications that you would like to take, okay? And so I put a list of things together, but I continued on and I collected a number of documents as an educational tool so that people who have forgotten who they really are could come back and learn at the rights that you have beyond, you know, the Second Amendment and things that people might know. And so go to thepeoplestreaty.com to see what you may have never been properly educated on, or maybe you've forgotten. But here's the nugget that I want to leave with people. Somebody asked me, you know, when are you going to get this People's Treaty ratified? And I'm like, oh, wait a minute, that's not what I'm talking about at all. All of the inalienable rights that, you know, people talk and think about, all of the things that, you know, you realize that people can't do this to me and they can't do that to me. That's wrong, right? Obviously wrong. The People's Treaty and all of the inalienable rights that you know that you have never, ever need to be ratified by anybody on planet Earth. That is a treaty. That is an agreement that you made with your creator when you decided to be born on this planet. That is your birthright. And when you realize that no person on Earth has the authority to trample on rights that you got from your creator, then you'll realize what your position is when you're talking to anybody who says they have authority over you. You know, take it up with your creator, right? If somebody is doing something that you feel is wrong, you got to realize that you have rights just because you're here. You signed a treaty with your creator in order to come down and spend this time on this planet. Please remember that.
Man, thank you. That is powerful. I love it. Thank you so much. And man, that was great. That was great. James, I want to thank you so much once again for being a guest on the Hidden Gateway podcast. Oh, before I forget, please tell the people one more time where they can find you, your websites, phone number, everything you would like to share.
James Roguski, roguski.substack.com is where all of the articles and stuff are. You can get to the heart of it by going to stopthewho.com or don'tyoudare.info. And my phone number is 310-619-3055. I've made a whole heck of a lot of friends, and be patient with me. I'm trying to catch up, and I will call everybody back that I've got a number for. You can certainly text me or WhatsApp or Signal or Telegram or all those things. Just spread the word. Take this link and share it with everybody. And imagine what happens if you tell somebody who tells somebody who tells somebody who tells somebody who knows a million people, right? If you don't start that ball rolling, you're censoring yourself and you're withholding this information from potentially, you know, half the planet. And so don't do that. You know, spread the word.
Spread the word, good people. James, thank you once again for being a guest on the Hidden Gateway podcast. And thank you for doing your good works as well. And to our audience, we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Hidden Gateway podcast. Remember, you can stay connected with us directly at thehiddengateway.com. If you would like to chat, send us an email, support@thehiddengateway.com. And thank you as always for pushing your mindset towards a better reality. This will conclude this week's episode. Until next time, stay positive, stay questioning, be love, and be free. The Hidden Gateway, out.